Don't go into it thinking that you're going to break the bank, that you're going to quit your day job and become the serial podcaster. Do it because you have to enjoy the subject. You have to live and breathe what you're trying to get out to your audience. If you're not authentic about that, the audience is going to pick up on it and you're not going to have an audience.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
Welcome back to the podcast on podcasting. It's your host, Adam A. Adams. And today we've got Andrew Bernstein. What's up, Andrew? How are you?
Adam, how are you, man? Great to connect with you.
I'm doing fantastic. And many of the episodes on this podcast, we just dive into other people's stories, why you started a podcast, what you do differently, how you started a podcast, the things that you struggled with in the beginning, anything that you might be struggling with now. Your podcast is called Legend of Sport. And as we were starting like the pre-interview, I thought it was interesting as I was looking through, your most recent episode talks about the head coach at UVU, Utah Valley University. And I mentioned to you, that's where I graduated from college. That's where I got my education degree. I was going to teach junior high band. I was going to be a band director. And then I started doing real estate and other things. But I thought that was really cool to kind of bring it full circle. With your podcast, Legends of Sport, you interview literally the greatest people that you can find in sports. Is that mean any sport at all? Is that golf? Is that basketball? What kind of sports are you really interviewing there?
Well, yes, we have not been selective on leaving any sports out. We've had people from almost every imaginable sport, from the Big Four, hockey, basketball, baseball, football. We've had golfers, Amy Alcott, the great golfer. We've had Tony Hawk from...
Oh, cool.
We've had executives from sports like Peter Guber, Rick Welt, personalities. Part of Legends of Sport is discuss personalities. George Lopez, great, huge, mega fan, super fan, basically, of the Lakers. George was a guest recently. And we also delve into a lot of topics that are important and relevant right now. Mental health, equity and pay, the social justice issues that really mushroomed last summer when I was in the NBA bubble doing my regular job working for the NBA. And so we don't turn anybody away, my friend. No sport is too small for us, and we're not big enough to say, you know what, we're not going to do that. I enjoy talking to people from all walks of life.
That's cool. So you think you'll ever have like somebody from the Olympics on your show?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. Cool. In fact, two guests ago, first of all, what a coincidence that you went to Utah Valley when the current guest this week is Mark Madsen, the current coach of Utah Valley Wolverine. Great friend of mine, of course, two-time champion with the Lakers with Kobe and Shaq. And you're only the second person I met who, besides Mark, who went to Utah Valley. But the guest before Mark, coincidentally, that you brought up the Olympics, the great legend of beach volleyball and indoor volleyball, Karch Karai. And Karch just coached, in fact, while the podcast was being released, he was coaching the USA women's volleyball team to the gold medal in Tokyo. So it was incredibly timely, an incredible guest, and somebody that I really started my career photographing on the beach in Manhattan Beach in the early 80s. And look what that sport has become.
Yeah. You said you're a photographer now as well, like 40 years later. And I also heard you say my day job with the NBA, do you take photo? Is that like your main place to take photos? It's more of like NBA stuff or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I wear a few hats in my photography life, my friend. When I opened my business was, I think, 1980, Bernstein Associates is the name of the company. And we, myself and guys working with me, we started freelancing around and working for different teams and shooting different sports on the weekends and whatever we could do and sell photos to whoever. And very quickly, things started to really kind of explode for me in my career. I was able to sort of engineer to be the official photographer of the 83 NBA All-Star game, which was at the Forum in LA. And they hadn't even honestly thought about having a photographer there. And I kind of created that. And then shortly after that, I was hired by the Dodgers to be their photographer. That was in 84. in 86, myself, someone I was working closely with the NBA, we created the position of official NBA photographer, and at the same time created the entity of NBA Photos, which is to this day is the clearinghouse and licensing point for all NBA photography. So that's been my work life, has revolved around my photography career. I'm the longest tenured senior photographer in the NBA, just finished my 40th season, starting my 41st. My company has also grown. Wear another hat as director of photography for AEG, which is the multi-gigantic entertainment company that owns Staples Center and Microsoft Theater. So we are responsible as a group for anything that happens in those two venues. And, you know, in a non-COVID year, there's probably 500 events that happen between both of those buildings. And in addition, my company is the team photographer for the LA Kings. So we're doing Lakers, Clippers, Kings, Sparks, the WNBA team, the venues. We keep super busy. Again, in a non-COVID, you know, we're talking about like when the dust clears and the skies open again. But things are starting to come back, which is great. And quite frankly, the pandemic gave me some time to really sort of take a breath and a breather from my photography life and dig deep into Legends of Sport, especially the podcast, which I was doing weekly during the pandemic.
With your podcast, when did you start it? Just like the first episode launch?
I think the first episode was in, I want to say 2016.
Okay.
With Podcast One, we had a 2-year agreement with Podcast One. I would go into their studio every Thursday, and either the guests would come into the studio or the guests would call in. And it was a great experience for me. I had a little bit of experience doing interviews because I have a show on the Laker Spectrum Network. It's actually a TV show called Through the Lens, where I sit and I talk to a Laker personality about their career through my photos. And that was my first foray into actual interviewing. And that was on camera. It was a learning curve for sure, but I enjoyed it. The owner of Podcast One, my dear friend, Norm Pattis, longtime Laker season ticket holder. He's watched the show. He's a fan of the show. He said, I want to bring that show onto my podcast network, which I thought was kind of funny because it's a visual show. You show a photo. And he said, it doesn't matter, Andy. Everybody cares about the stories. It's all about where the people came from. And the photos complement that. It's not about the photos. And that really rang a bell. Norm and I and his team, we kind of dove into the concept of the podcast. And I found that he was totally right, that everyone's story was interesting to me. The research into everyone's story was super fun to do with my producer, and working with everyone at Podcast One was great. I had a great sound engineer there who really helped me understand how to ask questions quickly and get in and get out and how to follow up. And so it's been fun, man. I think I told you before, we're finishing our fourth season, I think 148 episodes. This current season, we partnered and distributed by the LA Times. And it's been a blast. I totally love it, every aspect of it. As you know, it gets a little bit hairy when you're chasing guests down and trying to get people of that kind of stature to commit. But Zoom has actually made it easier for a lot of people. And
you know, I want to go there with you for a second, because I was thinking to myself, you're an NBA photographer, and I'm wondering, does that make it easy for him to get major guests like some of these NBA stars in Los Angeles or wherever? Because you're there, because you're in their faces, they probably see you frequently. Does that make it easier? And regardless if it does or does not, like, I believe that most podcasters have some type of hangup with getting guests. Something's holding them back. Maybe it's fear of missing out. Maybe it's wondering, am I good enough? Or will he or she say yes? Or I don't want to hear the word no. That would offend me. And then I would have to quit my podcast altogether. So if we could talk a little bit about getting guests, what's helped you and what hasn't, that would be super helpful.
Yeah. You hit the nail on the head, my friend. Somebody who's got a lot of experience like yourself in this podcast world. First of all, you have to have a thick skin. And somebody says no, or their publicist doesn't follow up, or they don't respond, you check them off the list and move to the next person. But to answer your first sort of question here about has it made it easier for me because of my relationships, 100,000% yes. I have relationships with people in the NBA world, especially, that thousands of people have crossed my path over my career. So it could be anyone from an assistant coach who's become a coach, a player who was a rookie once and now is a Hall of Famer, an owner, anyone who I've come in contact with. I tend to keep those relationships going. I have a kind of personality, I think, that people enjoy just kind of being around me and vice versa. I don't particularly put people on this like pedestal where they're like unreachable or unattainable. I think they appreciate that. And that's led to some great fortune in my career and collaborations with Kobe or whoever it might be that we've done projects together. So that I have done a podcast, quite frankly, where I could get guests of this A-list quality and caliber if I didn't have these relationships. And then you get somebody like Eric Dickerson. I'll give an example. I don't have a relationship with Eric Dickerson. I photographed him when he played, but his agent is a close friend of a dear friend of mine who made the introduction. And I had already had probably 25, 30 podcasts under my belt at that point. And Eric liked the fact that I had this history with him by photographing him as a player. So one thing led to the other and ended up being one of the best interviews I had because I got to uncover things in our research and then talking to him that I never would have had that opportunity if my friend hadn't made that introduction. So it's kind of like who you know, relationships you have, and never being afraid if somebody's going to say no. They say no. You know what? Whatever. Maybe down the road they'll come back, maybe not.
Yeah, good stuff. You had some good relationships with, I guess, the owner of Podcast One as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that there was some things that that relationship really progressed and helped and supported you to get to the next level. But I'm curious, even with that relationship, what did you struggle with by getting that first episode across the line and launched and in the air, I think in 2016?
Yeah, for sure. I struggle with what was the style going to be of this podcast. I mean, you know, there's a million podcasts out there about sports, and I wanted to make it a little bit different. I mean, the fact that I've been and still am a working photographer in sports, I think that was important. Norm and his team and I talked about that I needed to bring my experience of being on the job and kind of in the trenches still. The fact that I had personal stories with most of these guests in some way or another, could be third hand or whatever, but most of the guests, the early guests I had on the show, as I remember, there was some personal connection there. Either I had photographed them, they'd crossed my path in some way, but some of them I didn't. I mean, we had Amy Alcott, I'll use her as an example, the Hall of Fame women's golfer. First of all, I don't really know anything about golf, and I'll be the first one to admit it. I don't watch golf, I don't play golf. But as I got into her story, it was fascinating. I mean, where she came from, and I soon discovered, Adam, that everybody came from somewhere. There was some like linchpin moment in their career, whether it was a mentor or a coach or somebody who believed in them, some epiphany in their life, whatever. Super interesting. I'll give you another example. Kirk Gibson was on my podcast early, and Kirk hit one of the greatest home runs in the history of baseball, his World Series home run in Game 1 of 1988, the 88 World Series. I was working for the Dodgers then. So it was literally my photo of Kirk that people kind of remember and that he's seen a million times. Now, I might have maybe one sentence with Kirk Gibson the entire time that he was playing for the Dodgers. But the fact that I was there in that moment, I think he kind of appreciated that. But he told this great story about the fact that he was a two-sport athlete at Michigan State. He was actually a Hall of Fame football player, and baseball was secondary. And when he got to his senior year, his football coach said, "You know what, Kirk? I think you're better off long-term to be a baseball player because football, the longevity and injury prone and all that stuff." And that coach who kind of migrated him over to baseball, and look what he's become. So that was a great story. I had never heard that story before.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can cite, you know, probably 15 off the top of my head from guests that just blew me away with some anecdote or story. It's fabulous.
Let's take it here, because I think that we all start a podcast for a different reason. Each and every one of us. And by the way, I love your coffee mug. So much branding. So if, at any rate, let me get back to this. The listener is like, what does this coffee mug do? What does it say? It's the logo of his podcast. So he's really branding that podcast. And speaking of the podcast, why did you start it? We all have a different reason to start a podcast. Some of us, we want to make money. Some of us, we want to leave a legacy. It's all different. There's many, many reasons why people are starting their podcast. What's your goal with your podcast? What's the future of your podcast? Why did you start it? And why have you kept doing it for the last 5 years?
That's a great question, Adam. No one's ever asked me that question, and I really appreciate you asking it. About 8 years ago, two friends of mine, very, very close friends, all three of us in the sports business in one way or the other. One is an attorney and sort of a contract lawyer. The other is a sort of the guru of sports licensing. Three of us are best friends. And it's just amazing that we gelled over sports, but our personal lives are very similar, raising kids at the same time, all that kind of stuff, busy A-plus personalities and all. And kind of interesting story. One of my friends invited the three of us to the Major League Baseball All-Star Game in Arizona. And I rarely go to sporting events if I'm not working. If I'm not working, I'm going to be home with my kids or with my wife or whatever. So we went and we're sitting around and having a couple of cocktails, one of the cocktail parties. And I don't know in your world, but in like my world, super macho sports world, like guys don't sit around talking about things like, oh, where do you think you're going to be in your life 10 years from now? Or where do you see your career going? I mean, my wife, God bless her and her friends, they do that all the time. But guys don't really do that. So we're having one of those conversations. We were probably a couple of cocktails in, you know, and it just came to the three of us like a lightning bolt that A, we wanted to work together, the three of us, some way, right? We didn't want to work for anybody. We wanted to do something in sport and we wanted to give back in some way. Those were the four elements. So this theme of legendary athletes and sort of the spotlight being kind of moved away from them post-retirement, and all the horror stories we have heard about guys losing their fortunes for whatever reason, Mike Tyson or Allen Iverson, or guys who end up in rehab or whatever. And that really has stuck with me, and it actually stuck with my friends. And we came up with this concept of a content platform called Legends of Sport, which would basically celebrate, document, and perpetuate the legendary athletes, moments, teams, venues, and personalities in sport. Those were the five spokes. We had no idea how to get that off the ground. The three of us had busy lives. And it kind of went up and down, and we'd have a conversation every couple of months, and we'd have a meeting with a couple of people, but nothing ever happened. And then, like I told you, I did this Lakers show on TV, and then Norm talked to me, and it seemed like that was the opportunity to really launch the Legends of Sport content platform itself, the overall concept, bring it into the world, to birth it, so to speak, through the podcast. So that's what we've done. 4 years of doing the podcast, and things are starting to really happen for Legends of Sport. There's a couple of partnerships and projects that are very close to coming to fruition and getting off the ground. COVID sent all of us back a little bit, but it also gave us some time to plan better, quite frankly. And where we want the podcast to go and grow is just perhaps have offshoots of the Legends of Sport podcast hosted by legendary athletes or legendary broadcasters or whomever. And I think the future is ours to make. It's up to us to see where we want to go. But we're talking to a content platform right now who's very interested in Legends of Sport as a whole, not just the podcast. Podcast is an element, but what we bring to the table with events or meet and greets or long-term projects, or it could be publishing, could be all kinds of stuff. So that's the long answer to your great question. That's our long-term vision.
So you've had the podcast for several years, for almost 5 years, and it looks like you're publishing like an episode approximately every other week, twice a month, or is that about right?
Yeah, we were publishing once a week up until our partnership with the LA Times started last July. But the beginning of that was when the NBA bubble started, literally July 1st. So we led off partnership with the LA Times with 16 weeks, once a week, doing a series called Restarting the Clock. So every episode of that 16 consecutive weeks dealt with what was going on in the NBA bubble, the WNBA bubble, how we could bring guests in to speak about their experience in the moment. And we have a caveat where you have to be a legend. You have to have some legendary status. So I'll give you an example. Derek Fisher, legendary Laker player, won championships with Kobe, great friend of mine. Derek Fisher is the coach of the LA Sparks, the WNBA team. So for him to speak about what was going on in the WNBA bubble with his team, that gave me an opportunity then to, of course, talk to him about his career and his relationship with Kobe and what he's doing in the community and all that kind of thing. Same thing with a couple of journalists, Mark Spears, legendary journalist. And Mark helped me understand what was going on with all the social justice issues from George Floyd to Breonna Taylor and the Jacob Blake incident, that murder had happened while we were in the bubble. And the NBA shut down while I was there. And I needed to understand really what was going on here. And Mark was super helpful with that and educated me and was a great guest. So yeah, that's kind of where we've been. That's where it started off, as every week. And then once that ended, our agreement with the Times is really to put one out every other week, which kind of helped in production. And the Times has not been able to open their studios yet. They have brand new studios that they, unfortunately, because of COVID, haven't been able to open. So we're doing the podcast right here in this seat, you know, in my office. I have a great producer who works here with me, and we have a video editor and audio editor who put both together, and we release simultaneously every other Tuesday on YouTube, as well as all the platforms that the LA Times distributes to.
I have a couple more questions for sure for you. Yeah. One of them, you mentioned that it was about 8 years ago that you and your couple friends were sitting around having some cocktails, one or two, and now getting into the place where you decided this is what we want to do. And it had those four things. We want it to be together. We want it to be not working for other people. We want to give back. Mm-hmm. And there was a fourth one. At any rate, during that time, that was like 8 years ago. But it took you around 3 years to actually launch a podcast. So we might have a listener right now who's like, they've been thinking about a podcast for 5 days and just subscribe today. Or they may have like logged in or thought to themselves 7, 8, 10 years ago, I want to have a XYZ podcast. Mm-hmm. So what took 3 years? Why did it take 3 years? And how can our listener, who might be struggling with the same thing, streamline and just get it launched?
Well, the interesting thing about podcasting, Adam, is you don't go into podcasting to get rich. I mean, there's, you know, like four guys out there making significant money. I mean, there's more, of course, but that's not why I went into podcasting. I can't speak for you. I went into podcasting because it was a long form opportunity to talk to people about their lives and careers and really understand where they came from under the umbrella and the sort of mission statement of Legends of Sport. And I would say to anybody out there who's contemplating a podcast, is just do it. Seriously, I mean, it sounds cliche, but it's super easy to record a podcast, to publish it. There's all kinds of ways to do that. There's probably 15 platforms out there that you can publish a podcast on that. I think some of them don't cost anything to do. And don't go into it thinking that you're going to break the bank, that you're going to quit your day job and become this serial podcaster, because that rarely happens. Do it because, first of all, you have to enjoy the subject matter. You have to live and breathe what you're trying to get out to your audience. If you're not authentic about that, the audience is going to pick up on it. And guess what? You're not going to have an audience.
Yeah, that's, you know, huge advice, Andrew. That's so good. Like, live and breathe it. Have a passion about it.
Yes, but Adam, that's what attracted me to you. That's why I listen to you, because you're passionate about talking about podcasting, you know, and it's what interests you, and that gets across, right? So it's like, if you, I wouldn't send my kid who wants to play soccer to a baseball coach, my kid to a soccer coach.
Yeah.
So point being is that you got to just enjoy the subject matter. You have to be on your toes because podcasting, I treat it, quite frankly, as a live interview. We never break. We never say, do it over. I flub something. We try to clean it up later if we have to, but sometimes we just leave it in. And really, this is the last thing I'm going to say. When I did the Laker show on the Spectrum Network, the Laker Network, I was super nervous. I had never done an interview with it. I mean, people had interviewed me and I'd been on camera and stuff, but I had never been the guy on the scene interviewing somebody else. And my first interview is with James Worthy, Laker great, Hall of Famer. And I'm on the set and I'm like sweating bullets. It was like Albert Brooks Network, if anybody remembers that movie. And James was getting makeup and he's coming over. And the producer, this wonderful woman, Marina, came up to me. She said, Ed, let me ask you something. How long have you known James Worthy? I knew him from his rookie year, the day he was drafted. She said, well, forget about all this stuff, cameras, lights, the whole thing, all the crew. Just imagine you're in a bar, you're in your living room, you're on the team bus, and you're having a conversation with James. You know him. He knows you. Just go for it. And you know what? This isn't live. We're taping it. Make a mistake. Say the wrong thing, we'll do it again. And immediately, like, the blood came back to my body and the sweating stopped. And it was super fun. And James was fantastic. I couldn't have asked for a better first guest because he's so comfortable in front of the camera. And sometimes people are not that comfortable, even in podcasting.
Yeah.
And especially on Zoom, people are not that comfortable. But once you start talking to them about where they started, and we always lead off with that, like find some nugget in our research as to where they started, what got them off the ground, who influenced them, just everything clears and people relax in the moment and we have fabulous conversations.
I love all of that. And I'm definitely going to refer back to it when I wrap up the show. That there's a lot of good nuggets there. Earlier you said, with a caveat, that everyone on the show has to be a legend.
Mm-hmm.
How important is it for us when we have a podcast, when we decide what our content's going to be, who's going to be our guests, what type of value we want to drop, who our listener is, what our listener wants, when we determine those things, how important is it for us to stick with our promise in the beginning? And is it okay to kind of go outside of that a little bit if we're a podcaster and we're trying new things?
Yeah, another great question, man. I'm going to answer that from my perspective with Legends of Sport is that we have criteria as to what defines a legend of sport. Okay, so you have to have achieved, you don't necessarily have to be retired. Like Tom Brady walked in my door right now, but obviously I would interview Tom Brady. He's an active legend. He will be a legend of sport. He is now, but he would be considered that once he's retired, of course. Our original criteria was that as an athlete or somebody around the game, you had had to achieve the Hall of Fame of your particular sport for us then to consider you as a legend of sport, because there's no level above Hall of Fame. You're a player, you win championships, God willing, you become a Hall of Famer, and then that's it, done. We are creating that next level of where Hall of Famers can then prosper and congregate and be sort of this exclusive club, quite frankly. I said to Kobe once when I was talking about this idea, and he was a great advisor and mentor as we were building Legends of Sport. I said, Kobe, where have you ever been in the same room with like Billie Jean King and Mario Andretti and Wayne Gretzky and Secretariat, big buddy? And I gave him like 10 different legendary athletes. And he looked at me blankly. He said, never. And maybe a few of those backstage at the ESPYs, but that's it. And I thought to myself, that makes no sense. It really makes no sense. I mean, that you're in the Football Hall of Fame or you're in the Basketball Hall of Fame. I mean, why isn't there another level above that? And guess what? Those people can then be marketed as legends of sport. So that's kind of like the next step that we're going to take here is at some point you'll have me on 5 years from now and I'll be telling you about the Legends of Sport gallery, the physical location somewhere in the world where you can take your kid or yourself and celebrate these athletes and these moments, these teams, whatever, venues, and stuff that you had heard of that were mythical. Like, I brought up in Brooklyn. You know, my family were diehard Brooklyn Dodger fans. I never saw Ebbets Field. I had heard about Ebbets Field. Now, how do I learn about Ebbets Field? I go on Google and I got to look at like 5,000 different things. No, we are going to be the central place where the world is going to come for anything that's legend related. So the criteria changed a little bit. We felt like we were kind of pigeonholing ourselves to the Hall of Fame requirement. So potential Hall of Famers, mostly retired players. But again, there are active legends out there that we would absolutely love to get on the show, and we will at some point. But not only, this is very important to get across, Adam, because it's part of our mission. Not only have you had, as a legend, achieved greatness on the playing field, surface, pool, whatever, you would have to have achieved greatness off of those surfaces. So you would have to give back in some way to society through a foundation, through community work, in any way that you can imagine.
So I don't mean to cut you off. Everybody who's interviewed on your show, they achieve greatness in their sport and they're giving back.
Yes, absolutely. 100%.
Amazing.
I can say that. When you look at any guest that we've had, they have had some impact to society off the field of play, for sure. 100%.
There's a sport that I really, really, really like. I've been doing something called CrossFit since 2009. And they've got these things called the CrossFit Games every year. And they just take like men and women and put them together and they do all sorts of things like power cleans and handstand walks and other gymnastics things and running and swimming and all sorts of cool stuff, right? And then at the end of the CrossFit Games, they name the fittest man alive and the fittest woman alive. Would somebody in CrossFit count somebody who could go on your show if they like won the CrossFit Games?
Wait, first of all, did you win that? I mean,
no way, not even close. I can't deadlift half of what they can deadlift. No, I would never.
A buddy of mine is like addicted to CrossFit, and I'm amazed at what this guy could do. But anyway, CrossFit for sure. Look,
that's cool.
Then you have to think, is it a sport per se? Maybe not, but I think fitness is definitely a sport, bodybuilding, anything that is related to physical health and well-being.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, he could come on.
We have reached out to Arnold. If you know Arnold, please give him a call, but we'll get Arnold sooner or later because he's awesome. Part of that fifth spoke of personalities. You know, Arnold being Arnold, but also the movies he's done. Any movie that has been sports related, from Hoosiers, Slapshot to The Natural or whatever, Field of Dreams. I mean, look what happened with Field of Dreams recently.
Didn't know he was in that. I used to watch that all the time when I was young. He was in Field of Dreams?
No, he wasn't. But I'm saying that the Field of Dreams film, which was a movie, now has become this sort of like cultural phenomenon where the Yankees and who's the other team they played? White Sox were actually like playing a real game in the Field of Dreams. Crazy, right? So that's taking a legendary film and bringing it like to a whole other level and making it relevant in today's world, right? You're a Yankee fan, you're going to watch that game because it means something in the standing, but also because it's super cool. And the same thing with when the NHL does their frozen, whatever they call it, series where they play these outdoor games in the middle of the winter, which I think is kind of insane, honestly, but as a fan, we had one at Dodger Stadium. We had the Kings and the Ducks played like an outdoor game on a rink in the middle of Dodger Stadium in the winter. So who knows?
Random story. I was in Los Angeles as part of a group I did a mission with, and we went to a Dodger game, and I was eating a Dodger dog when they were playing the White Sox. Randomly. And then I was with a different group selling door-to-door in Chicago a few years later. Yeah. And I went to a White Sox game while they were playing the Dodgers. The strangest thing, and eating, of course, a Chicago dog. So anyway.
Adam, which was better, man? I know you don't want to alienate one.
I think the Chicago dog.
Really?
Yeah. I think Chicago dog. But I need to get another Dodger dog.
Well, the Dodgers have actually changed their vendor that they had for like a gazillion years. It was like a gigantic controversy in LA, but that's a whole other thing. But Chicago dogs, I was amazed when I went to Chicago the first time the Bulls were playing Michael Jordan, that they put like tomatoes on there and they put cucumbers or something. I mean, it's like a crazy hot dog, but I actually liked it.
Yeah, they're full of stuff. So I have one other question, and I was thinking, like, you talked about when you were starting the podcast brand new, one of the things that you were struggling with was kind of really finding the voice, finding your unique spin on approach to your podcast compared to what others were already doing in that field. And wondering, now that you've had the podcast for 4 or 5 years, is there anything that you struggle with? Are there any things that hold you back financially or self-deprecate? Like, you're afraid of yourself? Like, what might hold someone back after they've been doing this for like 4+ years?
And I think you have to always come back to preparation, Adam. I mean, you didn't do this interview with me without reading bio information, looking into my history. I mean, I have found that there's been a few times when I've been less, I don't want to say not prepared, but a little less prepared than I was in other podcasts. Maybe I was just traveling a lot. Maybe the research wasn't as deep as I hoped it would have been, whatever. And I get really like nervous about that because I want to know everything about the person, but I want to just be prepared that I could have 40-minute conversation, sometimes they're longer, with that person. Now, sometimes I rely on just personal experience. When I went in to interview Magic Johnson in his office, I don't think I even had notes, honestly, because I mean, I'm so close with Magic and we came up together and basically I know everything about life and career. I mean, I had a bullet point list for the script. Financially, it's all about getting some advertising money to get a sponsor. We're actually working right now on trying to find a title sponsor. We have a couple of feelers out to a couple of brands that could possibly align with us to be our title sponsor, and that would be great. You don't have to sell a lot. And the other thing is that podcast advertising is kind of the lowest amount of spend that a brand would have to do on advertising. It's like the medium at the bottom of sort of the cost barrel. And some brands see that, and good startup brands, especially like, for example, we get hit up all the time from CBD companies, because CBD is huge now in the world of sports, and vetting them out and figuring out who's legit and who's not, who is aligned with them and who isn't. We have a great sales director now who does all that for us. But again, I'm going to go back to what I said earlier, that I'm glad I had a day job, because I would not have been able to get into podcasting if that was going to be what was going to be paying the rent. I do it because I love it, and I do it because it's literally the launching point for everything else we're trying to do with Legend Sports. So we're finding that the downloads, the eyeballs on our social media, it's helping further our cause as to moving higher up in the sort of pecking order of sports content platforms.
A lot of good stuff. I was thinking, and the last thing that I ever want to do is overstep, but I was thinking about one small thing, and it applies to your podcast, and it would probably would apply to many other podcasts. And it's all about like sponsorship. It's all about like show growth. And the one thing is by doing, and I know you said like, sometimes the finances don't always come. I love that you have like a sponsor, a person who actually handles all the sponsors now, which is just incredible. But for smaller teams and for other people, one of the things that I've noticed, and I can clearly see this, is when we put out more content, like 7 episodes a week instead of 1 a week, or every week instead of every other week, or whatever, it is so interesting that we can double and triple our listener base just by doing more content. And I think with your podcast, it would amplify because you're having like some of the people, these legends that many of us respect, look up to, want to hear everything about, and you have your own spin. If you had the ability to increase the amount of interviews you did with your legends, I think even though you're already doing great, I think it would amplify it a lot too.
Yes, I appreciate that, man. I totally agree. I would like to start off season five going back to once a week, quite honestly. And that's something we'll have to talk to the platform that we're with to see if that's something we can do. I think once a week is coming out like we do it every Tuesday, that listeners are used to that.
They're gonna,
and our whole social media sort of program can revolve around that once a week. We have a very robust social media program. We have a great social media manager based in New Jersey. And he's like, the guy works like 24 hours a day pumping out social media content. But we have this sort of schedule of how we pre-promote the podcast, promote it the day it comes out. We do these little Instagram snips along the way because we're doing video now. But once a week, I think, would keep it in people's consciousness a little bit more. And I totally agree with you. Quite honestly, my friend, it also revolves around my sort of bandwidth. You know,
makes sense. Yeah. Especially during seasons too.
Yeah. Once my season starts, I'm pretty cooked. I mean, I'm doing 3, 4, 5 games a week. I kind of tail back a lot of my travel, but I do prioritize the podcast. I do know that I'm going to record it when it's scheduled. Try to record like on Wednesdays, but we obviously work around the guest schedule. And that's going to be the same moving forward. But take that advice really well, because we got to get back to doing more podcasts for sure.
Do you have time for another question?
Yeah, of course.
One thing that you mentioned earlier, and I think it was about podcast one and in the beginning of kind of working with them. And I love that story when you were interviewing like that first person, I'm trying to remember his name, but the woman comes out and she says, like, how long have you known him? And what do you know about him? And forget about all this other stuff. You mentioned something about learning how to ask questions quickly. Mm-hmm. This is something that I know I struggle with. Like, I'm trying to ask you a question now, and I've been going for 5 minutes prepping my question, right? And so what I'm really curious on, I know that I will get value, and I think that many of us will probably get value to learn how you learn to ask those questions a little bit more quickly.
Yeah, that's been kind of the Achilles heel here for me. I tend to talk a lot, and the setup to the question, you can see, sometimes you can see the guest eyes sort of glaze over, like, get to it already. I took it upon myself to take all the research that my producer, Veronica, does, and she gives me some general questions. I took it upon myself very early to write a script. I have an actual script written out where I write out the questions. And then if they're too long, when I write them out, I actually cross it out, I redo it. And even in the moment when I'm talking, and I tend to talk too much in asking a question. And it's funny, I don't know if you watch Rachel Maddow. My wife and I love Rachel Maddow. They watch her religiously. But like almost every night, we're yelling at the TV, just ask the question already. And I've had a couple of incidents where we were at podcast one where my sound engineer, Sean, and I love him dearly, and he would be just like from behind the booth, he'd be like, ask already. So writing the script really helped, quite frankly. Okay. Some people just go with bullet point index cards or something. I have to have the script actually written.
That's super interesting. I want to share just a couple of our takeaways that I noticed. Okay, so one of the things that you're looking for is figuring out your style. And I think that resonates with any of us. We need to know what our style is. And the only way for us to really stand out is to have that style. I don't want it to hold a listener back when they are trying to start their podcast, because some of this style is going to come just because you're a different person than that other person.
Mm-hmm.
So figure it out. Andrew's right. Figure it out. Identify it. But if it's a hard thing, that if it's holding you back, to make sure that you're so unique, just get over it and do what Andrew said. Just start. Just start your podcast. Even though that might sound cliche, he said, just start. You need to get out and you need to start it. Another thing, going into the 8 years ago that you were thinking about it, the 5-ish years ago that you actually started recording, don't let it hold you back that long. It's going to benefit you. It's going to help you. You're going to be able to get your voice out. There's so many benefits to having a podcast, whether you're monetizing, whether it's your passion, just get it out and start it. Another thing that I learned from Andrew today is that we need to have some sort of framework that our podcast fits within, and we need to be okay to adapt it a little bit later. Like he said with the Hall of Fame, you might have this one thing, but you might feel a little pigeonholed. It's okay, and you have permission to go around that when you feel it's necessary, but it's also beneficial for you to really find that box, because adding that value to that listener that you have each and every day, they need to be able to know what to expect with your podcast when it comes out every other Tuesday, who you interview, just the legends, because they're coming for a promise that you gave them, and you need to be able to follow through with that promise as you go by. Another thing is what you're currently struggling with. I thought it was interesting. One of them was interview prep, and I could do way better with my interview prep. I was inspired by how you, even sometimes when you have known somebody for a long time, you're still like with Magic Johnson, even though you didn't have like a script that day, you said you still made bullet points before the interview ever happened. And that makes me feel like, hey, I could spend a little bit more time doing that. And that might help me ask better, more concise questions as well by having that preparation. So that was a huge takeaway that I got. Another thing you said you're kind of still working through or struggling with is the sponsorship. And one of the ways that you've gotten around it is having a person whose job it is to make sure they're doing that. And you're even having like tons of different CBD companies, and you got to spend the time to vet them. And I thought it was interesting when you mentioned that. Some of us would be like, I would kill to have just one CBD company. And so it's like, it's interesting. The grass is always greener. And in the beginning, you might be like struggling to get that sponsor. And at the end, you might be like, man, I'm getting too many sponsors. I want to make sure I have the right sponsor. I just thought it was really interesting that to open our minds up to the fact that sometimes there's issues regardless of where you are in the journey. And it's really important to just enjoy the journey. So I got tons of takeaways. Andrew, I appreciate it. You added a lot of value to the listener. Your podcast, the link to your podcast is already in the show notes. And your website also is already in the show notes. So the listener can just scroll down and click, and they'll be able to connect with you. So I want to say thank you. What is the final thing that you would say to a podcaster after this whole interview? What else do you feel like inclined that you should pour into that one person?
Well, you summed up everything up really well, Adam, but the one thing you forgot, which is key to podcasting, is you never want to end the interview thinking, oh, I should have asked him that, right? Well, how did I forget? So have notes. Just have notes. Even if it's just bullet points. There were a couple of times where I left the interview and I'm like, oh, damn, I forgot to ask him that question. Maybe it was a time thing, or maybe it just didn't fit in the conversation, but you never want to leave an interview. And I'm sure I'm speaking to the choir here with thinking like, oh, I'm not going to get this guy.
We're all guilty of it. We're 100% all guilty of it. So thank you. Thank you so much.
But I think it's good for people to hear from you and I that this happened, but this is a big takeaway. So for sure.
Andrew, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I'm going to let you go, and we are out. Two quick things before you go. Number one, if you are looking to upgrade like your podcast equipment or just get your very first affordable microphone, then go to growyourshow.com/PDF. That link's in the show notes. Go ahead and scroll down. On that PDF is 100% equipment for your podcasting studio that I've personally vetted. My team has vetted this. We know that it works. We know that it's affordable, and we don't want you paying more for your podcasting equipment. So again, if you're looking to upgrade your equipment or get your very first inexpensive microphone that works great, that's where you go. And then number two is, got a free course, A to Z, on everything you need to know about podcasting, and you don't have to go anywhere but the podcast in order to access it. You don't have to even give me an email address to access it. It is just the very first 6 episodes of this podcast. So what you'll do is you'll scroll down a bit, you'll click on all episodes, and scroll down because we're hundreds of episodes in, and you'll see the episode 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 is a free course from A to Z on launching a top podcast. Take advantage of those two things. I'll see you on the next episode.